Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 6 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. The Love and Relationships podcast has gotten a whole lot of new listeners over the past couple years. So we're taking some time to review and refresh some of your favorite episodes. Whether this is your first time to listen or just a refresher, I want you to sit back and enjoy some of these must-listen-to episodes from the Love and Relationships podcast. Today's question comes from Ben from Missouri. Ben says, "Hey, Deborah, my wife and I have had a challenging few years of marriage, and it's been a reality check. What tips, suggestions, or advice do you have on making marriage work?" Friends, today I'm excited to introduce you to Jeremy Camp and his wife, Adrienne. Jeremy Camp is a Grammy-nominated singer and songwriter, and he actually met his wife, Adrienne, while on tour. Now, if you don't know anything about Jeremy and his story, I will tell you this. My husband and I recently watched the movie called I Still Believe, and it's about Jeremy Camp's life and story. And I'll tell you what, it was so touching and inspiring. And when I watched it, I knew I wanted to have Jeremy come on the show. So I'm excited to have him and Adrienne here today talking about love and relationships and marriage. Welcome to the show, Jeremy and Adrienne Camp.
Thanks for having us.
So, you know, today we're going to really dive into the topic of marriage, and a lot of the expectations that we have before marriage kind of come crashing down when faced with the reality of marriage. And I really want to help this specific listener, but also everyone that's listening, kind of have a smoother transition into marriage. So I want to pick your brains a little bit about what it was like for you when you guys got married. And especially coming from your background with, you know, your Christian beliefs and then the music industry. And right. I think sometimes marriage really can be idolized for Christians. Like we can really make it this thing, put it on this pedestal, and then we get there and we've got a lot of different realities that we have to deal with. So I'm curious for both of you, what was the biggest reality check that you guys went through and experienced?
You know, honestly, I think there's a lot of things, of course, when you get married of reality checks. But I think, you know, the idea that when you get married, that your whole life will be fulfilled because of marriage is something our society that is preached very, very strongly. Mm-hmm. And I learned very quickly that only Jesus can fulfill all your needs.
Yes.
And this is being cliche. It's not being churchy. It's actually the truth. And so, you know, realizing that going into marriage, a lot of times you say, okay, I found the perfect person. They're going to fulfill all those needs that I have, and I'm going to be happy forever. And the chemistry is going to be there forever. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, okay, they're going to do things that are going to disturb me. Are you're finding out their flaws, all the things that you didn't really understand. They're becoming, you know, better friends. So you're seeing their flaws more. And so the reality check is that, oh yeah, they're not perfect. And so it's not just the chemistry that you live by, it's commitment. And I think that that's the biggest thing that we go for. Everyone's looking for chemistry constantly. And it's like, no, it's actually about commitment. You know, yeah. I mean, there is chemistry that's great. But I think when you really say, okay, God, I've actually made a pact saying I'm going to love my wife with all of my heart, no matter what happens, that's true commitment. And that's, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was going to say, my parents actually had a very, very tumultuous marriage with a lot of conflict. So going into marriage, I knew that it would be difficult, but I think still in the back of my mind, because I felt like Jeremy and I were so much healthier than my parents were,
right,
that I thought, well, that's their story. Surely not Jeremy. Like, you know, it will be better. And I think the reality is that it doesn't matter who you marry. It really doesn't. Like, the grass will never, ever be greener on the other side. It's not like we enter into this marriage and then we married the wrong person. At the end of the day, you've got two really flawed human beings that end up living life together, and marriage is difficult.
Yeah.
Men and women alone, we perceive things so differently and then bring in different insecurities. And simultaneously, like in marriage, what makes it, I think, so difficult is because there is this beautiful vulnerability, because you've now committed to love each other, like fully transparent, right? I gave Jeremy all of who I am. As there's this beautiful sort of intimacy, it also gives him the power to hurt me deeper than anybody else.
Right.
And so it's like this almost very interesting balance of the ability of almost being able to bring out the worst in each other or the best.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. There's a pastor named Tommy Nelson who I'll never forget. I was in college when I heard him speak, and he said, getting married is basically like taking a gun and allowing someone else to hold it to your head for the rest of your life. Because they have the power. You are giving them the power to hurt you. And I love what you said about, you know, like when you think you find the one and you think all of these things about them, and then you realize that they're a flawed human being just like you. And I think the biggest realization for us too is when we get to the point where we realize that we're not the one we thought we were either. You know, like marriage exposes so much of our own personal junk. And like you said, Adrian, we come into it thinking like we're healthy. And then the pressure cooker of marriage begins to expose all our stuff. And we're then invited to deal with it. We're invited to take responsibility, take ownership. But I think one area where a lot of couples end up really struggling is when that stuff starts to come to the surface, the instant response is, well, look at this person. This is all their stuff. This is all their issue. I should have married somebody else instead of really taking ownership of our part of the story. So when you guys first got married, you know, let's just think of that first year or two or the first few years. Does anything stick out to you as an area that was difficult to navigate?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it doesn't really matter how long you've been married, but especially in the beginning, I think communication.
Yeah.
You know, one of those things that it's like when I'm trying to communicate something, and obviously I know my heart and I know where I'm coming from, and then Jeremy just completely perceives it differently. And to almost just really stop and learn to sort of talk through those things and understand where each other are coming from, you know, and to believe the best about each other. It's like love believes the best. And so to not always run to the negative and just remember, like, we're on the same team here.
She has to tell me that sometimes, because I'm kind of the negative guy. I don't, for some reason, it's an issue that I have, is I don't believe the best, and it's a constant battle for me. And so she'll tell me, hey, I'm on your team. She'll tell me that sometimes. Like, and I'm like,
we're working together for a common purpose. Cause I think, especially in the beginning, it's like you do come to a marriage as two individuals.
Right.
Yeah, you're bound in unity before God, obviously. But it is this process of, in a sense, like two becoming one. Yeah.
And it's not an easy one.
No, it's not at all. I mean, like, I look now and I think compared to when Jeremy and I first got married, I feel like we were practically strangers.
Yeah, for sure.
And now I've said, like, about our marriage, I don't know where I begin and he ends, and we're all just, like, meshed together, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. It's amazing how it really takes effort and energy and intention. I mean, people always say, like, one of the phrases that really bothers me is time heals all wounds. Because as a counselor, hopefully you're not going to say that phrase. But
no. We were just talking
Somebody had said that to me. Yeah. That hurt me really bad.
It's unbelievably inaccurate, first of all. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Time doesn't have that type of power. And I think we assume because we've been married for a certain amount of time, we should have it. We should be this right. point. We should have this level of communication. This kind of stuff doesn't happen naturally. Time doesn't heal. The only thing that heals is Jesus and Jesus partnering with us in being intentional. Yes. Like, how am I going to make our communication better? How am I going to make our marriage better? How am I going to work out this junk in my relationship? Time is actually going to do the opposite. Time is going to make us drift in marriage, if anything.
You know, one of the things that we said to each other communication-wise is we made a pact, not saying we always maybe followed it all the way, but we said, you know, please, if I ask if you're okay, tell me if you're okay or not. Like, be honest.
I love
and
that.
Because I think, like, even for instance, like, hey, can I go hang out with my friends? And if she doesn't want me to, she can't say, yeah, that's great. Because then there's going to be resentment that's held in that I don't even know is there. And I didn't necessarily do anything wrong, but I can't read her mind if she's thinking, well, you should just, a lot of people say, you should just know that I wanted you to stay home. That's so wrong. It is.
Right.
And it's not healing at all. And so one of the things that we did, we always say, how's your heart? We even ask our kids, we say, how's your heart? We don't just say, how are you doing? It's how's your heart? And it makes you think a little deeper. I think for me, that's been such a pivotal thing in our family is sitting with my kids. I mean, of course, my son, when he was younger, I was like, how's your heart? And he goes, I don't know. I think it's okay. You know, he didn't know what I was saying, but I had explained to him, no, how you really think about how you're really doing, how you're feeling, how your emotions. And, and it really is a key to stopping the, how you doing? Great. And going, how's your heart?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me think about it. And that's key for sure.
Yeah, totally.
When you have hurt each other, because obviously that does come, you know what I mean? Of just really sitting down and having the honest conversations, but again, remembering like we're building something together here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about you versus me and all of that stuff, but just like Jeremy's saying, ask those hard questions, have the honest conversations, but don't, it doesn't need to be like I'm coming out swinging at you. But just go, hey, like something's bothering me. Can we just talk about it? You know,
right.
Like today.
We literally had a conversation just, before this and I just said,
I believe it. I'm married. I believe it.
And I said, I'm not having a go at you at all. Like same team. I'm in it for the long haul, but it's getting under my skin and I just need to voice it. And he heard me and he was like, cool, fair enough. And it didn't have to be this big old thing. And I didn't let it get in my heart and fester and get mad. And
That's when you come out swinging is when you let it get in your heart. You don't deal with it. And then all of a sudden you just blow up and explode.
Right.
And that's where the majority of marriages have the issues is that it's the assumption that's, I know I said it earlier, but I think the biggest assumption that's so hard for me is that well, you should have known, you know, we don't know. And sometimes some of us are a little more thick headed than other people, you know what I mean? And so we don't know what you're thinking. So please just tell us and
make the effort,
you know? And so if I'm like, well, you should have known that I'm, you know, was feeling this way.
And the truth is, you know, when we talk about our internal reaction, You know, our internal reaction is shaped by our personality. It's shaped by our family of origin issues. Maybe when my husband's quiet, my internal reaction is he pulling away? And that could be based on my own past junk. So I can't assume that he knows what I'm thinking because he has a different personality, different experience, different family of origin. So his default response is always going to be different than my default response to any given situation.
Right.
And the only way to really understand is to be open, like you guys said. Like, how is your heart right now? How are you really feeling about this? And you know what's interesting, guys? I feel like, sadly, the average person sometimes doesn't even know how they really feel.
For sure. 100%.
They haven't even done that work. And if you don't actually know how you feel, you can't even begin to express that to your spouse. So much of the work of marriage is actually the work of me becoming the healthiest version of myself, learning to understand my emotions, to express them, to know what I need, to know how to put it into words in a respectful way. It's like so much of that work a lot of times happens through marriage because God is giving us an opportunity to get healthy. But man, don't you want to tell all those singles out there, just do the work now, like just do it now.
Absolutely.
And you said something about doing the work and unpacking the layers of your heart, you know, to really kind of search on what's going on. And I think about, remember Shrek when the donkey was like, I'm like an onion, or I think Shrek said, you're like an onion or something. And like, you got to peel through the layers.
So
it's like, you gotta peel through the layers. And I think that, but it takes effort, and especially with onion, that's kind of like, you don't want to peel it. It cries sometimes, it's stinky, you know, but, and that's the fact. And I think that, you know, you said it earlier too, it's, we so often look at our spouses and say, God, change them.
you know what I mean?
Just change them. If you change them, then it'll be easier for me. And that's actually the complete opposite of what it should be. God, how can I humble myself, deny myself, and learn to, even if they're difficult, you know, say, I want to serve and love no matter what. Doesn't mean that you let them walk all over you. That's
right.
Not the point. The point is just saying, how can I walk in humility and serve? And maybe it's that kindness that leads to repentance in a sense. If there is an actual issue, then maybe that kindness will just drop that barrier, that wall. So,
yeah. Well, I just think too, there's this misconception that when we do get married, like our husband or our wife is going to be the one to solve our problems or complete us. It's that whole, I mean, I can't think of a bigger lie, actually.
I'm so glad you brought that up, actually, because one of the things I wanted to ask you guys about is, why do you think that we have such wildly unrealistic or false expectations? And then I want to ask, do you think it's more so in Christian circles than in non-Christian circles? Or do you feel like we all kind of go, I mean, look at the divorce rates, right? Like the divorce rates are high among Christians and non-Christians. We all assume we know that marriage is difficult. Marriage requires sacrifice. Right. We say we get it. What do you think it is that kind of sets us up to have these false expectations?
I think a couple of things. I mean, one is society and what it tells us, you know, and society tells us a couple of things. One is that, you know, there's this chemistry constantly and they live happily ever after. Social media will give you the perception of things always being amazing. And then you're like, well, what's wrong with us? And you kind of feel like an island because everything else is portrayed in a perfect way. Or you get the opposite end of the spectrum where you see people that have the rough time. They say, you know what? You're not fulfilling me. You're holding me back from my dreams. And so I'm not happy. So I'm leaving and I'm going to find another path. And so I think you get both sides of the spectrum. So you're disillusioned no matter what. You're either pushed to divorce because it says that that's the better way because, you know, we just weren't good for each other anyway. Or you are feeling like you're an island because you feel like no one else is going through what you're going through because you're watching everything being portrayed the way it is. So,
well, and I think as well, the major sort of, I guess, theme in our society is such a me, self-centered, fulfilling who I am.
Yeah.
And so when people get married or enter into relationships, obviously it's like, especially in the beginning, there is something that's affirming and you feel so special because you've finally been loved and chosen by somebody. But really, if we think about it, that is the nature of love that the world provides, because the nature of love in Christianity is service and sacrifice.
Right.
Which is really essentially who Jesus is and why he came to die on the cross. That the absolute fulfillment of his love for us was laying down his life. And so I think that obviously the world has, but the church has also bought into this lie that love is about me,
right?
You know what I mean? So here we are. It's exactly what Jeremy said. Like, you fulfill me, you do this for me. And that is literally the very opposite of what true love is. You know what I mean? And the way that Christianity defines it, but for some reason, even though we know it, I mean, everybody knows the 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. But for some reason, we just disregard the cost.
And we assume it's them loving us. They're going to be patient towards us, kind towards us.
Let's be honest here. Think about, like, I love these worship songs, but a lot of worship songs that people really love are the ones about how
God loves him.
How much God, which I'm saying we need to know that.
I totally get what you're saying.
God's love, but it's actually not about us. It's about us glorifying God and about us lifting him up. And I think that's where everything becomes, once again, even in worship sometimes, not that it's not needed, because I think that those songs, I've had times where I've sang, "Oh, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us." And I'm weeping because I was battling with understanding God's love.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm not disregarding any song. I'm saying that when we have the mindset of that's what I want to sing and want to hear all the time, we're forgetting about the whole, you know, purpose of worship. You know,
it's a one-sided mentality. That's what it is. One-sided relationship. And I think sometimes we do carry that mentality into our relationship with the Lord. Yeah. It's one-sided. What can he do for me? And and we carry that same mentality into marriage. And, you know, I always find it so funny that Christians, I think, tend to be the worst at assuming that they're going to be good at relationships. It's almost like because we love Jesus and he lives inside of our hearts, somehow he's going to create us into these superpower relational beings that are just experts at it. But if you look at any other discipline in life, you know, my husband needed 20,000 hours of training to become a surgeon. Wow. I needed 5,000 hours to become a licensed counselor. Even if you're getting your driver's license, you get 100 hours of training. But to get your marriage license, they just kind of hand you a piece of paper. And they're like, hey, you don't need any training. And Christians, good luck with that. And Christians assume that, okay, we're just going to be good at this. We're just going to be good because we're Christians. And then when we're not good and when we need training and education and work, we're almost surprised or afraid or disillusioned, or we think we made the wrong choice or, you know, instead of realizing like we're a work in progress.
Completely.
Well, you know, people get married, it's the same thing where a lot of times there's marriage counseling. So you kind of think because you're like, oh, I checked the box.
You got the couple hours in.
Yeah, you're like, well, I put a couple hours in. We're good. We had a couple sessions.
Well, I always tell people, if your surgeon came in and was like, I got a couple hours of training, I'm good. You'd be like, no thanks.
Thank you. It was that Geico commercial or whatever.
Exactly.
He's like, yeah, I'm a little nervous too. We'll be good. That's
good. And we really do have, you're absolutely right. We get that few hours. Yeah. If at all, some people don't even get that, but then it's like, I got it. I'm good. You know, I should have no problems here, and not realizing that this is a lifelong journey of refinement and sacrifice and peeling those unhealthy layers of the old so that God can do something new in our heart and in our relationships. People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at deborahfalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. So you guys mentioned how you ask each other, how's your heart? And I love that. I love that question. What other strategies? Is there anything else practically that you do? I'll tell you guys this, you don't know us, but everybody that listens to this podcast knows that John and I have Sunday night check-ins. Every Sunday night, we sit, we talk. 9 o'clock, his alarm goes off on his iPhone, and it's our like check-in time. We confess, we talk about our struggles, we pray. And that act, that ritual has just transformed our relationship in so many ways. So I'm curious what your rituals are besides the checking how your heart's doing. Is there anything else that you try to integrate into your marriage?
Well, I think first and foremost for me, and I know in a sense this isn't marriage related, but it really, really is I have to make sure that I'm completely connected and anchored to Jesus first and foremost.
Mm. Yeah.
And so when I'm connected with the Lord and operating in my relationship with him, everything outside of that flows so well. And so we both practice a very private, and what I mean by private is like getting away, you know what I mean? And spending time with the Lord first. And then oftentimes we will come together and I mean, I'll, you know, we'll share things that we've read with each other. Or if I've read in a devotional book, I'll read it to Jeremy or he'll share with me. We sit in bed together at night and we chat and we'll talk about things. To be honest with you, our life sometimes for the most part is pretty chaotic because of Jeremy's traveling schedule. But just like he said, we do check in with that. How's your heart doing? And we've set up a pattern in our relationship that we really are honest with each other when we ask that question. Yeah. And so I think what it has ended up doing is just we have honest conversation a lot of the time because it's just bred this sort of open communication with each other. Another thing we do, another thing is not like the whole, like not letting going to bed, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger, that whole thing. I know for me, I don't let things sit in my heart. And so I practice communicating to him. And even if it comes to expectations or things that I want him to do, I don't just wait around for him to try fill in the blanks. Right. And so again, it's just that communication thing. I've just been really intentional to talk. You know?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, to just a practical way, is we have a lot of conversations with couples. And so we will share and confess with couples. Like I've had times where we've been really honest with our friends and my guy friends are like, bro, you're a jerk. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, literally, he'll like right in front of, in front of his wife, my wife. I mean, but it's, we had that relationship. We set ourselves up. And I think that's one of the things that ways that we've allowed ourselves to be open is that we haven't become an island by ourselves, not letting people into our lives. We've actually opened up our lives to people to speak into our lives. Yes. And at first it was like uncomfortable when you're kind of sharing this and then everyone's there. You're, you know, my wife and his wife and then my friend and you're like, are they going to think something different? And then it becomes a thing where we all love each other. We're all making mistakes. We're talking through it. And yeah, you're right. I was a jerk, you know? Yeah. And so I think that's a very practical way I think that's the same thing, even with this book that we wrote, you know, a lot of people just need tools sometimes and to know that they're not alone, to know that people struggle as well. And you know, our book is very real, raw, honest, and transparent. You know, it's not like throwing our dirty laundry out just to have dirty laundry. It's actually saying, here's what we've been through. This is how God has restored and how God has taught us all these different things to these different situations. And so I think that's a massive thing in marriage. Have people in your life that you can sit down and glean from. Say, or people that you just also watch and go, man, I love how they do that.
Yeah.
I don't like how they do that. That bothers me.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Talk about that. Let's not do that. You know, it's that kind of thing that, and I think that's another practical aspect, being open with other couples.
That's so good and so true. You got to invite people into your life and share it all with, have that accountability. In one of my books called Choosing Marriage, I did these surveys where I would ask people, 1,000 people, what they thought marriage would be like before marriage, and then 1,000 people who were married, what marriage was actually like in these different hot topics. Yeah. And one of them was the communication. So my singles on the survey, when I asked how many minutes a week do you think the average married couple spends in quality conversation? The singles were like, you know, we talk like when you're dating, you talk at least like 3 hours on the phone a day. So minimum 1 hour a day, right? Minimum. And then when the results came in for the married couples, it was actually 15 minutes or less a week. Was the majority.
I can see that.
Wow.
And it's like, no wonder we're drifting. No wonder we're struggling because we're not even making time to communication is the lifeline of a relationship. And if we're not making time for the exchanging of words, the exchanging of our hearts, then we're not really connecting. So I really appreciate how, first of all, I love that you carve out that relationship with the Lord on your own. Like you're not dependent on each other to fill yourselves up spiritually. That's not your spouse's job.
Right.
And then I love that you come together so often just to discuss and share and stay connected and hear what God's doing. Would you say you guys ever went through a season of struggle in your relationship and how did you come out of that?
Like that, we both are like.
Oh, yeah. I know. If they could only see your faces when I asked that question.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are we not on video? Going to be on video?
No, they're going to miss that one. They'll just have to imagine.
I think, was it about 3 years ago? Probably about 3 years ago, or around then.
We had a couple
yeah,
stages.
We did.
About probably 12 years ago
yeah.
and 3 years ago, of like really tough.
Well, I mean, I just felt like every time we were in the room together, we were irritating each other.
Yeah.
It just, everything, we just butt heads, we disagreed on everything. It was just constantly friction.
Yeah.
And which, to be honest with you, I mean, we've had times and disagreed, but not as consistent as this. And I would say for probably months. And it was so exhausting. But I think what we really learned in that season, as hard as it was, is we had a lot of really, really, really hard conversations.
Yeah.
And it was learning to, even within the hard conversations, learning the timing of when to have those conversations.
The timing's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning how far to push each other, you know, because of course, essentially, as soon as you start dealing with difficult things, I mean, so my personality is I want to go and I want to figure it out. And Jeremy's is I'm out. I don't want to process any of this. And so it was almost learning to find this balance of pushing each other, mm-hmm. but then keeping it healthy so that you don't end up having a scream fest, you know?
Yeah,
and
right.
So when he finally says, okay, I'm done, for real, I'm done, that I needed to learn to back off.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had to learn to almost help him, like push him a little bit and go, okay, we have to talk about
this. Yeah, we have to have an agreement. And that's the thing I get to understand is in relationships, everyone handles conflict differently.
Yeah.
She wants to deal with the play. I need to process. So we had to come to this agreement. Hey, you got to give me space when I say stop. And then I have to say, I will come back to this. I promise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she feels like if I don't deal with it right away, then I'm just going to be done and sweep it on the rug and just move on.
That's
so huge, because you have to both give and take, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And understand each other's personalities. And so I think too, just another thing in the conflict that we have to understand is that what is your life situation like? We had a lot of hardships going on too around us.
Yeah.
Things with other people that would infiltrate your heart. So you would react possibly from a different hurt.
Totally.
And so it's talking through that as well. Like, listen, I'm sorry. I think I'm having trust issues with this person. And
right.
So I'm just walling up,
yeah.
you know, with you, because I just don't want to deal with anything right now.
Yeah. This is actually about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it takes so much insight and awareness. Have you guys ever heard of something called the speaker listener technique?
Uh-uh.
Okay. So you're going to love this. There was a university out of Denver who basically followed these people around, these couples, for a span of like 5 years or longer. And they just watched them engage in conflict. And based on how each couple engaged in conflict, they were able to predict with 90% accuracy which couples would stay together and which would get a divorce. 90% accuracy just by watching them have a conflict and communicate through it. And so what they ended up doing, and it's funny that you mentioned this like cat mouse thing, because there is definitely that in most relationships. One person's like, I want to deal with it. I'm the cat. Let's just do it. And the mouse is like, I'm getting out of here. I don't feel like dealing with this, you know? And so they developed this strategy called the speaker listener technique of how to engage in conversation. It's almost like a method, a strategy, this practical plan with steps, how to engage in a back and forth conversation without one person feeling the need to run. And there's all these really great rules. I actually wrote about it in one of my books. I'm going to send it to you guys because I think you would love it. And I think it would really help you too, as you're counseling other couples. It just kind of gives you a framework of, you know, even at times when you need to say, stop, I can't handle anymore. But the key is when you're ready to stop, you don't just say, I'm done. The key is saying the person who wants to stop has to then reschedule the conversation and say, this is a lot for me. I can't handle it right now, but it's important. And so I want to resume this conversation. And they really suggest within 24 hours. So tomorrow morning, let's pick this back up. Or even if it's like 2 a.m. and you've been going around in circles and you're not making progress. You know, the verse that says don't go to bed while angry. Well, some of us can stay up till like 9 a.m. the next morning if you know what I'm saying? So sometimes there does have to be a point where a couple says, okay, we're not being productive. Let's put this on hold until tomorrow. Our emotions calm down. We sleep about it. We think better. And then we revisit. So It's called the speaker listener technique. But I just find it fascinating that you could predict with 90% accuracy. It just goes to show you the power of how we come together and handle conflict.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, and I just think too, humility is key. You know, it's like humility breeds this just middle ground of just going, even though, of course, I think I'm right, because else I wouldn't have the perspective that I have, of just being willing to take a moment and think about, okay, where is the other person coming from?
Yes.
If I can just put myself in that person's shoes, and again, not thinking the worst, not thinking like, oh my gosh, my husband is evil,
right?
You know, of just thinking about the best and then just going, okay, instead of just trying to win this argument, of just being willing to take a break and act in humility and just go, okay, I need to, for the sake of us, just stop and think about, I wonder where he's coming from right now. Or how can I, even as brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know, realize we're there to, in a sense, help each other out of those broken, insecure, weak places, you know, instead of, again, looking to each other to be the one that fulfills each other, of just going, if Jeremy has broken places in his life, which he does, and so do I, that as a sister in the Lord, I'm there to be an encouragement to him and to walk in humility.
I love that perspective so much. It's just a beautiful imagery of the fact that we're a team, and you know, you're here to help your brother in Christ and to help him navigate and become more like Jesus, just like he wants you to become more like Jesus. That's such a good way of thinking of it. So you guys mentioned, you know, you have been through seasons of struggle. Well, what words of encouragement would you offer to somebody who feels like they're stuck in that right now?
There's always hope. And I think that the biggest thing that people have to understand is that there's always hope. And, you know, I think it's never too late, because God is the ultimate God of redemption and restoration. And so I would encourage people, if they're in that spot, to once again, go seek counsel with an openness and a willingness to say, I want to make this work. Some people, the reason why we wrote this book and because we're passionate about marriage is because we've had so many friends that have gotten divorced. And when they come to us, they already made up their mind. Right. Does that make sense? They've made up their mind because they're going, we're struggling. And he's like this. And they've already said, I'm done.
Yeah.
And so if you're in that spot, just go say, God, help my heart to be open to a change in my own life and for restoration, because that has to start right there. Because if you just go and do all this work, like, yeah, I'll go see a counselor, but you're not open for change, it's not going to do anything because your heart's already closed off.
Yeah.
And so the first thing you have to do is start off by saying, I'm open for restoration, truly. And then go seek counsel, talk to other couples, get tools, books that are great books that help you navigate through things.
Yeah. I know for me, you know, when there've been times that I've just felt like just stretched beyond my max and even felt like I didn't have love in my heart, I didn't have respect in my heart, of just getting on my knees and being really honest with the Lord about everything that I'm feeling.
Yeah.
You know, of just literally going, God, you are supernatural. In other words, he's not flesh, you know? And so just going, he gives us the ability to love and forgive and trust again, you know, and to work through those difficult things, because that's his very nature, is he isn't like us. And that's why we go to Jesus for everything that we need. And so, I mean, I've just been brutally honest going, Lord, I don't like Jeremy right now. I have no ounce. I don't have tender heart towards him, but just being honest and then going, please give me that, because I want to build our marriage. I want to sow the things into our marriage today that will, you know, be fruitful down the line.
Really? You felt that way? I'm just kidding. Trust me, we've had funny conversations.
How's your heart, Adrian? How's your heart?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Heart right now.
That's so good. I love it. I remember one day when John and I had a big fight, and early on in our marriage, the Lord just really spoke to my heart, kind of like what you were saying, Adrian, and really just said to me, like, think of all I've done for you. You know, and you're having a hard time forgiving, but think of my love for you and let that be your motivator. It's not because he deserves it. It's because what I have done for you, and you didn't deserve it either. And it just, like, when you're the recipient of grace, it's so much easier to give it, you know, and just to keep that, like you said, Jeremy, an open heart, an open posture for what God is doing in my life, and then in turn as it overflows into my marriage as well. Tell us a little bit more about your book before we wrap up, and what's it about, what inspired you, where people can get it, and how people can connect with you guys.
I think a lot of the reason why I wrote the book is because we went, you know what, we got marriage figured out, let's write a book. Just kidding, that definitely wasn't it. It really was, I mean, I'll kind of go back to what I was saying before, is that it really was just inspired by the fact that we realized that it feels like you're on an island if you don't realize that other people go through struggles.
Yeah.
And I think, especially in a platform like we are as well, sometimes people look at our marriage and they see in social media and or whatever, and like, wow, look at them. And you guys are the best couple. And you're like, well, we've had a lot of work and we're still in a work in progress, like a massive work in progress. And so let's share with you the things that we've learned. And I think that's the whole heart behind it, was going, how can we share with those that are in marriage and younger? I mean, you know, we're kind of a younger couple too. So it's, you know, but we've been married for 16 years and we have kids that are, you know, 15, 14 and almost nine. And so we've lived some life. And so I think the heart behind it was giving someone a tool before they're married to prepare for marriage, because the whole book is about, here's how we met. This is what we've learned from each other. Here's conflict and how we've dealt with conflict. Here's how we deal with grief in situations, how depression, you know, and things that I've dealt with in that, and whatever it may be, just, and how a spouse should help you walk through that. That's the heart behind it. More tools we can have to help navigate through marriage, the better.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that you're opening your heart and your story. The reason we idolize marriage so much is because too many people aren't revealing what's going on behind the scenes. Like you said, it's all just this figment of our imagination that we see on social media. And that's what we measure everything up against. And then when our marriages fall short of that, especially looking to leadership and assuming that Christian leaders don't struggle. So I love that you've opened your marriage and allowed God to use the hard things and the good things to encourage this generation. Where can people connect with you and find your book?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to jeremycamp.com or at adcamp or at jeremycampofficial.
On Instagram.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
Facebook, of course, as well. And then the book's called In Unison. You can get it, you know, Amazon or any bookstore. I think bookstores are open now.
Yay!
So I think that's good. But yeah, I mean, websites and Instagram. Instagram is probably the one that we kind of post on the most. So
awesome.
Yeah. And this audio book available too if people hate reading.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, guys. It was such a pleasure to have you. Thank you for opening your hearts, your marriage, and just for making time to talk to us today.
Yeah, thank you.
So
you're
much.
Awesome.
Take care. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you love what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about those as well as hundreds of articles and courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com or deborahfileta.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Fileta and tell me your story. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships and we'll try to get it answered on the show. I'm Deborah Fileta, and it was so great being together today, and I can't wait to be with you again next week. See you later.